Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
This podcast is from an Aim of Our webinar. To find out more, go to aimofour.com or future events on Aim of Our on Eventbrite.
Welcome, Archie and Kirsty. Hi to you both.
Hello. Hi.
All right. So, Archie, can we kick off with you first and give us your story of Carnot and your crowdfunding?
Certainly. So, good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be here and share our experiences. So, as Andrew mentioned, I'm CEO of Carnot, which I founded with my two co-founders, Nadir Rahman and Francis Lem. We met at a previous startup where we had our idea, which is basically to develop engines with certain parts manufactured from ceramics, which enables us to double the efficiency and halve the fuel consumption. And crucially, our vision is to decarbonize our target markets by operating our ceramic engines on hydrogen and biofuels. Quite challenging and deep technology. You may be wondering why are we bothering when everything's going electric? So we're deliberately targeting the long haul, large applications for which battery technology is least suitable. So that's off-grid energy, ships, and heavy goods vehicles. And we believe that a clean, sustainable, efficient engine really is the best option for these markets because they're relatively cheap. They can be refueled in minutes. We've been using them for 130 years. They've got excellent range, and they don't apply any extra load on the grid. So we believe that we can not only fill the short-term gap in the market, but actually provide the technology of choice for the long-term future of these markets. So we founded the company in 2019, and we spent the first 9 months focusing on raising capital for the project. And it was to get to the first key milestone of being able to run a proof of concept prototype and demonstrate the technology. So the raising capital we found challenging for two main reasons. Firstly, we're developing a deep technology. So it's a long development cycle. It requires a lot of capital. We estimate about 10 million in venture capital. And it will be a relatively long period before investors see a return on their investment. Secondly, our technology is highly innovative, and the markets we're trying to target are highly conservative. Investors want to see industry engagement and market pull for your technology, and industry wants to see your technology demonstrated to be reliable before they'll consider adopting it. So you have this chicken and egg scenario, which makes it difficult to get to that first milestone of a prototype. So our first break really came when we were awarded an Innovate UK grant for £300,000. So that was to develop an energy access solution in rural communities in Ethiopia. And we were also awarded a place on the TechX accelerator, which is run in partnership with BP and Equinor, which came with another £100,000 grant. So at that point, we figured we need another £170,000 to get to our proof of concept prototype. So we began discussions with investors. None of us had any previous connections or networks of investors, and it was very hit and miss initially. So we were just approaching investors. It was very difficult to find ones which were kind of the type that you need for this kind of long-term investment. And we had some interesting experiences, including one investor who valued our company at less than the cash that we'd already raised from our grants. So clearly saw the three co-founders as cash negative assets, which was a bit disheartening, let's say. So in terms of crowdfunding, we initially ruled it out because we had these preconceptions that crowdfunding is basically only for companies who are already generating revenue, who need money to scale, but actually it's going to be a short period before those investors can expect a return on their investment. We did a quick tour on the platforms and, we very briefly, it seemed to confirm what we thought. But after the experiences with the aforementioned investors, we decided to return to the platform and did a proper look and actually found that there were three other companies on there at the time who were in very similar situations to us. So developing deep technologies, they were pre-prototype, they had patent pendings and they had secured grant funding and they had been very successful with their raises. One that springs to mind was Hyperpoland. They're developing magnetic levitation technology for rail to enable trains to travel at 600 kilometers an hour. So it doesn't get much more deep technology than that. So we decided to do some more research and we came across ISQ, Kirsty's company, who support crowdfunding campaigns. And we had an initial consultation with them. And they were very clear from the start that the bulk of the initial raise actually comes from your own network. So the idea is to try and build momentum so that when you launch on the platform, you look at an attractive investment. And raising capital from my family and my friends and my ex-colleagues, etc., wasn't something that I'd previously considered. And if I'm being completely honest, wasn't something I was 100% comfortable with at the time. But ISQ actually really helped in terms of framing our message and our investment proposition, because as they put it, when you're raising investment from your own networks, you feel like you're holding out the proverbial begging bowl. Whereas actually you have an investment proposition which has the potential to give a large high return on investment and it also has the potential to have a big impact on global CO2 emissions in our case. Granted that the risks of the investment are high because it's an early stage technology company, but these really are in the UK offset by tax relief schemes. So if you look at SEIS, if you're in the top tax bracket for an investor, if they invest in a company which folds, they'll lose something like 22.5% of their original investment. So it really is kind of de-risked exactly for that reason. So in terms of our crowdfunding journey, as I mentioned, most of the work is actually in the pre-campaign prior to launching. And as I say, the idea is to generate this momentum before you launch. So our initial target was to pre-raise £70,000 from our own network, which would enable us to achieve the minimum allowable target on the platform. In our case, that was £100,000. And we set what's called an overfund limit of £170,000. With ISQ's help, we were able to pre-raise £120,000. So we went straight through the original minimum limit that we targeted. And for that reason, we decided to raise the overfund limit to £300,000. And once we'd launched, we actually achieved that limit. So we raised £300,000 in 11 days out of a total of 30 on the platform. So it really was a massive boost for us. It showed there is genuine interest in our technology. And it's from the, off the back of that, we've accelerated the technology development. We're now doing an angel investment round this month for £400,000. And we're talking to VCs about closing a further round later in the year for £4.5 million once we've successfully run our first prototype. And this was pretty much all enabled by the crowdfunding round. So in terms of kind of five key takeaways from our crowdfunding journey, I'd say firstly, it is for deep technologies. It's for the complete spectrum of technologies and actually stages of companies. So we've seen companies who've already done Series A rounds, Series B, who have gone back on to crowdfunding. The second thing I think is it forces you to access your own network. And I was amazed at actually how much support there is within my own network. And there's nothing more motivating than having your friends, families, ex-colleagues all engaged in your business and actually vested in your journey and kind of following you all along the way. The third thing I'd say is it really opened our eyes to the power of marketing and demonstrating that you're building momentum, because that is something that you have to do in the pre-launch. And that's something that ISQ really helped with us. And we have really taken on after the crowdfunding. So we've taken that forward, and it's a very effective tool for us. The fourth thing I'd say is it's a safe and regulated environment for both the companies and the investors. So you don't have the experiences that we had initially, where you have people kind of really trying to rip you off almost in terms of valuation. And you don't have to go to hundreds of meetings with investors to find the right one. The platform already has hundreds of investors on there who themselves have made good amounts of money from being investors on there. And the last thing I'd say is all the investors are aggregated into under a single umbrella, which is the platform. So in terms of administration, you actually deal with a single investor, but you have access to the networks of all those angel investors. And that's something that's really helped us as we've kind of progressed after our crowdfunding round.
So, Archie, that's a fantastic story, fantastic sum up. That's really good. So for those of you, please put some questions on that into the chat, and we'll come back to Archie and that later. I guess what one question of elaboration I'd like to ask you, Archie, before we move to Kirsty, the 70,000 first bit that you said you had the raise in that with, and the family, friends, or your first sort of contacts. What you said that you were a bit nervous about approaching them to start with. What types of individuals were in there in that first thing, numbers of them, and how much did they sort of put in to give you that first sort of push?
So the types of individuals were family, friends. So that was friends from uni, friends from school, and friends I just made over the years, and also ex-colleagues. So nowadays we have things like LinkedIn, and you don't realize it, but your networks are huge. You have the opportunity of keeping in touch with pretty much everyone you meet. So I literally went through my LinkedIn contacts and contacted everyone I thought who might be interested. And it did feel a bit awkward, I have to be honest, to start off with. But once you get over that, you do realize that it's you that's offering them an investment proposition. You shouldn't see it the other way around, and I think that really helps to frame your mentality going forward.
No, that's excellent. No, thanks so much for that, Archie. I think you've given us a great view there from the sharp end of starting your own business, which is great for the environment. And also, I think the reason why I've asked you on to talk as well is that, you know, you coming, as you said, from a tech and from a business to business sort of type proposition, as opposed to ones that we often see on crowdfunding platforms and, you know, gins or craft beers or sort of consumer sort of type products. So I think it was is a great story you've got. So I'd like to pass to Kirsty now. Kirsty, welcome. Thanks very much for coming on that today. Could you give us an introduction to yourself? And, you know, in your depth of experience now in helping so many organizations like Archie's, what are your sort of key success factors in that really? And how do you bring value in that to these propositions?
Sure. So hi, everyone. My name is Kirsty. I am CEO of ISQ Crowdfunding. And our area of expertise really is to just help business leaders like some of you to plan, prepare, launch and run highly successful equity crowdfunding campaigns. So we work with both of the leading equity investment platforms here in the UK, Crowdcube and Seed. As most of our clients will launch onto one of those platforms. We've worked with those platforms for 6 or 7 years now. We've supported several hundred companies to launch across those two platforms. We're coming up to nearly £50 million in funds raised for UK European companies now. And our clients have a really high success rate with crowdfunding. And I guess the reason for that is because what we provide is a very prescriptive and structured process or a strategy, if you like, to follow to make sure that you get this right. So we break the workload into phases, kind of manageable phases. And the idea is that with each phase that your company moves through, what you're doing is you're de-risking the chance of that campaign not reaching its full potential. And I say full potential because you can have a campaign that could just launch and hit a minimum target that you were hoping for, but actually often there's a lot more potential in there that you could have unlocked if you'd prepared much more thoroughly. So perhaps some people on this call are wondering if crowdfunding might be a good fit for their business or for a business that they're involved in or aware of. And I guess there's just some things to consider if this is something that you're thinking of. So some of what I'm about to say, Archie's touched on from his own experience, but I guess just to put the point across from my point of view, the crowdfunding isn't necessarily a really fast way of raising investment. People might come into this with the misconception that it's quite quick and easy. You put a campaign on a platform and people will invest, and it's anything but that. What you need to consider if you're going to go down this route is it's a marketing campaign as well as a fundraising exercise. So this is a big opportunity for you to create brand awareness. Sakano, when they eventually closed, their crowd was made up of nearly 600 individuals. So that's nearly 600 investors joined the raise. And to achieve that, there were several thousand sets of eyeballs that needed to look at Carno's business opportunity and look at that business. So in terms of the exposure that you can achieve, it can be really great. And of course, if you get the preparation right and your campaign looks strong, that can be incredibly beneficial for a brand. But if you get it wrong, it could be the complete opposite. So crowdfunding isn't necessarily something that you want to rush. So ideally, when you're thinking about crowdfunding, you're around 6 months or so away from really wanting that money in the bank. And that gives you adequate time to really plan and prepare, not just yourselves, but and all of the collateral, but also to warm up your audience for the fact that this is coming. And I think I've just disappeared. Let me stop and restart my video. Back. And just on that point about your audience, it's really important, as Archie touched on, to understand that equity crowdfunding, these platforms, firstly and foremostly, they exist to allow you to open up the opportunity to people from your own personal, professional and wider network. So Archie and the team got 600 or so investors, and many of those people were people they knew, as Archie said. And it's really important to almost pre-confirm a really good portion of what you want to raise on the platform from people that you already have access to, and you organize that in the lead up to launch. And what that does is that validates the opportunity for investors that don't know you or the business at all from Adam. But the great thing about equity crowdfunding, you know, we talk about that pre-confirmed investment sometimes as lead investment. And there's this huge, people get really hung up on the idea that they really need a lead investor. And I hear so many times people saying, well, we want to wait until we found our lead investor. The good thing about crowdfunding, and Karno is a really wonderful example of this, is that it doesn't have to be just one lead investor when you're raising from the crowd. It can be a group of individuals that come together and lead that raise. So Karno's raise, you know, 600 people, the largest investment amount in that raise was £20,000, I think. And that first sort of 120 that Archie and the team really successfully raised in the lead up to launch came from sort of 30 or 40 individuals. And so that wasn't one big lead investor that they had to kind of meet to convince to put into this. That was a group of individuals. So you're democratizing this opportunity. You're not just offering it to sophisticated investors that perhaps sit behind closed doors. You're opening it up to anybody. People can invest from as little as £20 to as much as they like. So it really allows anybody to jump in and be part of businesses that they believe in. And that's another reason why crowdfunding takes time, because there's a real warm-up process that you need to take people through. People often think you just put the campaign up and you tell people, look, we're crowdfunding, and then they'll invest. But that's, and that is a method, and it might work for you. It probably won't. The reason it might take you time is because, you know, thinking about all these people in your own network and wider network, you really want to take them through a bit of a journey towards understanding what your story is and building both an emotional and rational attachment to what it is that you're up to, so that by the time you launch on the platform, they're really eager to invest. They're kind of ready and waiting for you to send them that link, rather than you launching and then them starting asking all your questions whilst the clock's ticking. So you need time in the lead up. And I was going to mention a bit more thoroughly on the point about people not really thinking that they have a network to tap into. But Archie kind of illustrated that really well, I think. That LinkedIn network can be quite powerful. And it's often, you know, really one of the value adds from us is that we really help you to delve into your network and think about all the different groups of people that you could explore and try and tap into. And sometimes these investors will be people in your network that you don't even know are there right now. You know, they're friends you haven't met yet. One of my colleagues likes to call them. So it's a case of really thinking about that comms strategy and how you can use a really decent comms strategy to access as many people as possible, to warm up as broad an audience as possible. I often get asked what kind of investors come into a raise like this, or what's the kind of generally what do investors look like? And what I'll say is it's a really mixed bag. So these platforms, both Seeders and Crowdkeep, have hosted fundraisers for huge, huge global brands, raising millions and millions of pounds. And those rounds of funding will have included, of course, institutional investors, maybe groups of angels, funds, family offices. So those types of investors are absolutely sitting on those platforms and may well see your campaign. So all the more reason to come out strong. You want to make a good first impression to investors like that. Even if they don't invest in this round, they still might see the business, and that's important. You know, some investors on those platforms will be following Karno, I would say, even if they didn't invest, and maybe they will get involved in a later round of funding. So you've got that sophisticated side of the audience, the people who are regular investors and understand, you know, might put more money in. And then you've also got a really huge retail investment side of the audience, because these brands aren't only inviting high net worth individuals and sophisticated investors in, they're also inviting their customers to invest, and their family and their friends. And often when these people join these platforms, they're then kind of, it's also quite fun to put money into the brands that you like. And you'll find that these types of investors are hoping to build a diverse portfolio and are hoping that one of those investors will deliver a return on investment one day. And I think that sort of brings me on to the final point that I wanted to mention, is that investors do really expect returns still. So this isn't the type of crowdfunding that is rewards-based crowdfunding. This is equity crowdfunding, and we, you know, investors want to see, hope to see a return on investment one day. And so you need to be able to articulate what that might look like. Obviously things can change, but at some point you need to hope to deliver a return on investment. And crowd investors, they're typically not here for kind of dividend payments. They're here because they're hoping that one of the many companies they invest in will provide a decent return on investment one day. Even if that might be kind of years into the future. And I said the last point was my final point, but it wasn't. I'm going to make one more point. The other thing to think about if you're going into a crowd raise is what can you do with that network? So Archie touched on this a little bit, but that network won't just be there for the crowd raise and then you don't see them or talk to them again. Like, but Archie and the team now have 600 individuals who are brand ambassadors, who are people who really believed in the business and own that part of that business. And so it's really a good idea to think about how you might go on and use that network beyond your fundraise. So for instance, you know, how might these people be able to introduce you to future investors? Maybe they'd be able to contribute to the growth of your business some way by unlocking doors for you or introducing you to people. You've got 600 or several hundred people to ask for help and for support. And we've seen examples where those crowds have been absolutely monumental for the benefit of the growth of companies. So, you know, think about going into this, think about how you might really keep that crowd engaged beyond the fundraise. I've taken the assumption here that most people will know what equity crowdfunding is, and I've deliberately not covered information that you can find on the equity crowdfunding platforms. This was more sort of stuff that you perhaps didn't know you needed to know until you were doing it. I'm really keen to answer any questions that anybody's got.
Great. No, thanks very much, Kirsty. No, I've been really pleased with the perspective Archie and yourself and that have given. Just one additional point of reinforcement, really, from what both of you have said, and just get a bit more information from yourself. You know, I've been involved and been an advocate for crowdfunding from the points that you make about, you know, promoting the business, engaging with users, engaging with investors. But I found with the entrepreneurs I've been engaged with that they do sometimes think it's an easy option. Mm. And that they really knew that they haven't seen all of that sort of work that needs to be done. Could you give a bit of an example of the sorts of things that you do in your part, you know, sample emails, layouts, how you do videos and sort of stuff like that? Because, you know, I think organizations have to do this stuff anyway, because they've got to do their marketing and they've got to engage with customers. But doing it in a crowdfunding way partly gets that structure together. Could you give some examples of the sorts of materials that you handhold with, really, to bring it to that line?
Yeah. Equity crowdfunding can be, and if you're in it for the right reasons, it can be a really fun and engaging process that can set your business up for growth beyond the fundraise, as Archie mentioned. So definitely should go into this expecting to learn new things that you'll carry forward into your business after the raise. I guess those things that we cover, the main things that you need to pull together, if we split it into two, there's almost two halves of preparation for this. You've got all of the collateral that needs to be pulled together for this fundraise. So, you know, that collateral might look like making sure you have a pitch deck that speaks to an audience of crowd investors, your campaign that you will write for your crowdfunding platform, your marketing plans. And, you know, those marketing plans will cover various different marketing channels in both the lead up to the launch of your campaign and then whilst you're on the platform promoting that campaign. Your comms strategy. So, you know, thinking about the emails that you're going to send, the stages of emails, what those emails might say. So, for instance, we'll provide you with all those templates to use. There's lots more kind of little bits of collateral that are more detailed now, such as kind of updates to investors, marketing materials that you might put out on social media. But that's broadly what we would cover. And obviously the most important one that people think is most important is the video. And so having a really decent video script that's suited for a financial promotion is very important. And I guess where we really help with that is helping you to understand when that needs to be the focus, because often people think that should be the main focus, and actually video is just part of the last bit of the preparation, really. So that's the first half, I guess, of what you would prepare. And then the other thing to really consider alongside pulling together all of the collateral is the warm-up of your audience. So that piece of the preparation, as I said, we'll get all those emails out in the right way, in the right order with you. You'll send those emails, we'll provide the templates and the guidance, etc. But off the back of those emails, you'll then get lots of questions. And so that's the bit that takes time, is answering those questions and being available to talk to people who want to invest, much like with any method of fundraising. You can't delegate this stuff. You need to be present and you need to be willing to talk to investors and, you know, answer questions and nudge people over time towards that funding raise. Did that answer your question, Andrew?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I've invested in quite a number of startups through the crowdfunding campaigns because I've liked what the entrepreneur is doing. I like the sort of product, but also hopefully I find that when I'm asking those types of questions or when I've made the investment, I've engaged with those startups as well to help them with contacts in larger corporates or for the next rounds and sort of stuff like that. So
yeah,
no, that's
perfect fantastic. Example. So.
Thank you. That's great.
Good. So thank you all very much. Thank you to Archie. Thank you to Kirsty.
Please subscribe to future podcasts and please give us a 5-star rating on your platform. Thank you.